today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
What would the 90s be without?
All right, peoples, it is time for another tournament update, 90s album madness tournament here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I am Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And Mike Coley is out tonight, but we still have with us ace analyst Jason Goebel. Hello, Jason.
S-A-T-U-R-T-A-Y, night. We're doing this on Saturday night. Yes. I always wanted to do that. Bay City Rollers were done by the time I had started going to concerts. So shout out to the Bay City Rollers.
So we are recording this on Saturday night. This episode will post Sunday morning, and it will count as the Monday episode, people. So don't go looking for another episode tomorrow. This is your Monday episode, one day early on Sunday. It's like when they have... you know, like during the NFL playoffs and they have like Monday Night Football on Saturday or whatever, you know, it's like,
That's right.
So it's like that. but it is interesting, Jason, you bring up the fact that it's Saturday night and among the, you know, usual four of us, Coley's the only one who has anything going on.
Well, he's doing the Lord's work. He's serving people beverages at the... And fine beverages at Copper City Brewing.
That's right.
So, you know, God forbid we interfere with him doing the Lord's work tonight.
Absolutely. Well,
he may be wearing lederhosen.
That's true.
Okay. All right. Let's get into it here. Every day there's a new matchup in 90s album madness, and you can go to facebook.com/suburbspod to vote. We are recording tonight because earlier today, we completed the first round in the listeners quadrant. These were albums chosen before the tournament by our listeners to be in the bracket. And then today, Sunday, you still have time until noon Eastern time to vote for the first matchup in the hosts quadrant. Those are our picks. We'll get to that in a moment because we're going to preview that quadrant here in a second here. But right now, we're going to recap the first round in the listeners quadrant, and we will start here with the number one seed, U2's Achtung Baby, taking out the 16 seed Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory, 148 votes to 77 votes.
Well, let's start with this, and this is going to be a general theme throughout this round. Definitely a bunch of spirited fans coming out on this one. I think in connection with this round, the vote totals overall were higher than probably the most of the listener, most of the sales and critics quadrants. You know, I know there was some discussion, and again, I hope we did not cause the Gallagher brothers to never talk to each other again for another 10 years. But, you know, look, I'm a big fan of Achtung Baby. This was kind of when I started first going to concerts, and I remember the Zoo TV tour, which was around Achtung Baby as well. So I was fine with it. I figured... You know, I think most other contests, Oasis is 77, probably would have netted them a win, but there was a sizable contingent of U2 Nation that came out and gave them 148.
So, Jason, I just want to mention real quickly, and to the listeners, you are going to hear a lot of pretty high vote totals in this quadrant, man. For whatever reason, these albums that the listeners selected really brought the voters into the arena, really packed the arena. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of which, this one was a stunner to me. the number 15 seed, they might be Giants Flood, upsetting the number 2 seed, Tom Petty Wildflowers, 288-142. Doubled them up.
Wow.
So let's start with this. The name of the album Flood is now Tsunami because, man, that, I mean, I looked first at around like about 5 hours after his vote and it was neck and neck. And then when I woke up the next morning, I think I wiped my eyes because I didn't expect it would be they might be Giants in the 200s. And I just as a point of comparison, as I told you, the way I get to the Rocking Suburbs page is I type it in the browser engine, and now I guess Facebook gives like a bunch of things from your page from earlier. And luckily, because I was curious and the search did the work for me, these guys, They Might Be Giants, was in the American Band tournament, mm-hmm. which was the first tournament you guys did. Mm-hmm. And they only got 43 votes, and admittedly against the Beastie Boys, but that was part of the reason I picked Tom Petty's Wildflowers to not only win this match, but actually I thought Wildflowers were going to have the momentum. I mean, basically where I'm going with this, my bracket blown up. So what just happened by that tsunami that we call They Might Be Giants and the Flood album?
Yeah, I almost... Here, Jim, I'm ready to invoke the sacred memories and myth of the Richmond Spiders upsetting the Syracuse Orange all those years ago. First seismic shock I ever saw in a basketball tournament was that. And this, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, incredible, incredible performance to rack up 288.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Well, you know, it does say it right there in the name, they might be Giants. So
yeah, they might be.
We shouldn't be surprised, I suppose. Okay.
We also have superhero Particle Man also helping out. So they bring a lot of weapons to the table.
That's right. Okay, so then this one also completely stunned me because if you go back and listen to when we did the preview of this quadrant, I said that Matthew Sweet's Girlfriend could emerge from this quadrant, and boy, I couldn't be more wrong. Depeche Mode, number 14, Depeche Mode Violator, upsetting number 3, Matthew Sweet, Girlfriend, 262-136. I did not see this coming. I am completely out of touch.
So let me just say, I guess before we start, you guys are listening. I'm a hack, but you got, for those of you new who are actually listening to this podcast, in addition to voting, you got two geniuses of the podcast world, Jim Lenahan and Pat Foster. They do this Rocking the Suburbs podcast. This is just a small portion. Definitely stay tuned. It's a lot of fun. 15 minutes every day. You give them 15 minutes, they're going to tell you something very interesting about the musical world. Now, stepping back, this one, look, I was stunned. I am admittedly a huge Depeche Mode fan, and I know they have a huge fan base. I just did not think they were necessarily gonna flock to this, to this Facebook vote. But Violator was my basically in. I didn't really start going to see them live until, I want to say, whatever album came out in 97, 98. But I'm a huge Depeche Mode fan. Whenever they're touring, I will definitely try and see one of their shows that they're playing in New York City. So I was happy, again, stunned by the result, but I was definitely happy.
I'll say this. I was stunned also, and speechless is not something I usually am, but I was speechless just for several moments, not a long time. And then I picked up my phone and called Angelo, my bookie, and I put it all on Depeche Mode because I was just that surprised. I mean, it's a very strong album, and I was right there with you, Jim. I seconded your emotion. I thought Matthew Sweet, I was praising the guitars, but the synthesizers,
yeah,
the machines have dominated the guitars here.
That's right. The machines
take over.
That's a
lesson for all of us.
Yeah. Surprising to me, but okay. Moving on here. Number four. This one was not an upset, but did not have nearly the same vote total. Number four, The Sundays, Reading, Writing, and Arithmetic with 71 votes over number 13, Belle and Sebastian, If You're Feeling Sinister with 53 votes.
You know, look, these were, for me, two albums that really I didn't really know much about. I'll say that, you know, I enjoyed both albums very much. You know, The Sundays, I knew the song that I guess is the hit from the album. I didn't know much from it. Belle and Sebastian, I've started, you know, that was kind of the first time I've listened to If You're Feeling Sinister, or, yeah, If You're Feeling Sinister. And, you know, I know they're actually doing an anniversary tour where I think they're going to be doing the album in its entirety this year. You know, it was a good contest. I actually ended up voting for the Belle and Sebastian album, but... you know, it seems like there is definitely some love for the Sundays in this tournament and this community.
Yeah, it's good to hear Jason saying that he listened to both of these records, and I got some reports from the field during this day that this voting was taking place, and people listened to both records and were weeping so much they forgot to vote. They just laid down in the dark and began to listen to the albums over and over again. So I think that may account for some of the low vote total here.
Yeah. Well, this is not where the story ends for the Sundays. They advance on. Okay.
There you go.
Number five. This was a bit of a surprise just by, you know, the margin, I think.
Yeah.
Number five, Wilco's Being There with 115 votes over number 12, Neil Young's Ragged Glory with 35 votes.
I also thought Neil would fare better. I didn't know necessarily that he would win, but I thought he would do a little bit more competitive. You know, but look, this was the introduction to Wilco, or is this the second album?
Second album, yeah. But for a lot of people, probably where they yeah. came in, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, yep. You know, this was, you know, I know, like, from, I haven't seen Wilco in a while, but I know, you know, if you go see Wilco, you're going to get a bunch of songs from Being There, usually as part of the show. So, I know it's like obviously one of the more popular albums, and you know, Jeff Tweedy, again, I know he was in the American Band Tournament. He definitely brought out a lot of mixed reaction from the crowd, but you'll be dealing with Jeff Tweedy at least for another round.
Yeah, I sort of felt like Wilco was going to take this one, but as Jim said, I didn't think the margin would be, you know, quite so large. And I don't know. I personally think there is some confluence, of course, between Jeff Tweedy's work and Neil Young. I'm not quite ready to put Jeff on Neil's level, but certainly an impressive win and a very impressive record. I haven't listened to it in a long time, and I went back and played it right off the CD and quite enjoyed it and remembered almost every song.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
I was pretty happy about that. It was like seeing an old friend.
It's pretty great. One thing I'm just noticing here, I'm sort of scanning the entire field. I think unless I'm missing something, with with Tom Petty losing and Neil Young losing, I believe there's only one, what you would call like a true legacy artist still alive throughout. And that would be Santana in the, in the back in the sales quadrant. But other than that, I think all of these bands started at least in the 80s. All the remaining, you know, everybody else, at least in the 80s. Nobody goes back to like the 60s and 70s, except now for Santana.
Very I don't know what that means.
Okay. Where are we here? Now, number six. Oh, boy. Somewhere. Well, I know where. In Stirling, Scotland, there's a man in the fetal position right now crying. Because Neil Young lost, and then the next day, Teenage Fan Club lost. Weezer's Blue album, the debut album, number six seed, had 103 votes and defeated number 11 seed Teenage Fan Club Bandwagon-esque with 75.
I did feel bad, Stephen. I must say, I did feel bad. I did vote for Weezer. You know, it's funny, these two albums actually, when they were released, both got a bunch of music play from me. You know, I liked both albums at the time. You know, I just think probably for me, you know, Weezer, I can't remember if it was last year or if it was 2 years ago. I know Weezer did a tour where they basically did the Blue album in its entirety. And that's still kind of fresh in my head. And especially, you know, caused me to revisit the Blue album again. You know, I guess we can say, looking at that Buddy Holly video, Weezer at this point has not jumped the shark, unlike the Fonz. And Weezer lives to play another day.
Hey, I feel for Steven, man. That's a tough 1-2 punch. It really is. And, you know, I think that Weezer could, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are, I don't like the term closet. I try not to use it at all, but yeah. I think there's a lot of people that are Weezer fans, you know, that kind of Weezer is like a band you like to listen to when it's warm outside and you can roll both windows down in your car and drive around a little bit. For me, that band is Super Chunk, but I think for Weezer, that's, you know, a lot of bands are like that too. So, not surprised, sad, but not surprised. But I think, you know, they could, well, unfortunately, they're up. Anyway, they could do something here.
It's interesting to me because the way we set up the entire field for this, of course, Patrick, is you and I had our hosts picks last after the others were all set. And
correct.
You know, for me, two albums that I would have had on my list had they not already been voted in by the listeners were Girlfriend and Bandwagon-esque. And so... So I guess I guess I'm shedding a little tear as well here, but hey, congrats to Rivers and the gang. All right, let's see here. Number seven is Sunvolt's Trace with 73 votes over number 10 Neutral Milk Hotel in the Airplane Over the Sea with 65. This one was this the closest, I think, of this
very quadrant?
Yeah, I think so. So 73 to 65, Sunvolt.
Yep.
Look, this was definitely the closest matchup. I went Neutral Milk Hotel, but this was the theme with a lot of these votes. You know, in the past, I've sort of, and maybe I've grown up a little bit, because in the past, I basically be kicking and screaming and throwing shit at my computer. I apologize for the curse there. when like a matchup would come up that like I like both albums. I think I've come to the fact that, you know, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. You know what? If Jeff Tweedy made it in. Jay Farrar should have made it in too. So maybe there's some poetic justice in Sunvolt advancing.
Yeah, I love that. That there is some poetic justice there, and love both albums, and this one I would have put on my in my list if Neutral Milk Hotel hadn't been picked. And I think this is a lesson for all of us out there. Your vote counts. Your vote matters. This was only a very small margin of 8 votes, so it could have gone either way.
That's right. You're right, though. As you point this out, one quarter now of the second round in this quadrant is made up of Uncle Tupelo, right? So yeah. Interesting. Okay. Let's see. Moving on now. This was the last matchup of the first round in the listeners' quadrant. Number 8, Jeff Buckley's Grace, losing. I read this backwards. Let me start over again. In the number 9 seed, Smashing Pumpkins, Siamese Dream. Boy, I did not see this coming at all either. Siamese Dream with 206 votes over Jeff Buckley's Grace, 83 votes.
Look, this was, I think I talked about this on the preview of this bracket. I love both of these albums. I think when I submitted my listener's submission, you know, for your voting, you know, set this thing up, these two were pretty high. I mean, I don't pick any of these number one, but I think both of these were in my top 5, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I voted for Buckley. I think a couple of other people in the, you know, in the Facebook comments kind of may have done what I did, which is we love both albums. We kind of assumed it was probably going to be Smashing Pumpkins. So we were trying to help Jeff Buckley, at least, they, you know, make it somewhat respectable. You know, there's now a They Might Be Giants Army, which is more than the 4 people that basically Coley, or the 3 people that Coley lived with in his apartment in Syracuse. There's a Depeche Mode Army, and now there's definitely a Smashing Pumpkins Army.
Yeah.
Billy Corgan may be a little bit too much, but you know what? He makes good music.
I think a lot of people really hold Smashing Pumpkins dear to their heart from the 90s. There's a lot of people who were really, really into that band at the time. And I'm with you guys, and I'm surprised that they racked up over 200 in this. I mean, it was over by the first quarter. Traditionally, 8-9 matchups are some of the most unpredictable we get in the tournament. So, watch out for the Pumpkins. Watch out. You too. Watch out for the Pumpkins.
That's right. It's funny. Exactly, to echo what you're saying is, when I think of iconic 90s bands, not talking like my favorites or whatever, but just like the iconic ones, right? That you would say, like, you know, what bands represent the 90s in, you know, rock music, or whatever. There's at least half a dozen, maybe more than that, that I think of before the Smashing Pumpkins. And so it's so interesting to me. I think you're right. I feel, again, sort of out of touch on this. That this band is held in such high regard.
I mean,
so,
I will say this to your point, to you guys' point. You know, I remain a big Smashing Pumpkins fan, and I've seen them, you know, the iterations that Billy Corgan has put together. Now James Iha is back in the band, but I had seen them where it was really just Corgan, or maybe Corgan, and I think Chamberlain, ultimately, when he reconnected with Chamberlain, Chamberlain has been in the band a while. That includes, like, a few years ago, seeing him at the Garden. There's still a huge fan base for the Smashing Pumpkins today.
Good on them. You know, and another thing, too, here is I almost feel like that Jeff Buckley album is so beloved by a smaller group of fans that it's almost like you kind of don't want it to advance. It's like it's so special to people that, you know, you don't want everybody in on this, I think. But anyway.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
But I will throw out a quick rest in power, Jeff Buckley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rest in power.
All right, let's move on now to the host quadrant. First round in the host quadrant. These are our picks, Patrick and my picks here. And the first matchup is ongoing this morning. You have until noon today to vote at facebook.com/suburbspod. And that first matchup is your number one pick, Patrick, Spiritualized, Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space versus Fugazi's Repeater.
I love Spiritualized, but I will also throw out that I remember 4 years ago, again, going back to the American Band Tournament, where I sort of made a joke about how there was going to be a lot of local love for Fugazi. That having been said, I think one of the bands, and I shouldn't say few because there's many I've gotten from this podcast, but one of them that definitely stands out is Fugazi. So I am rooting for Spiritualized. If Fugazi takes it, I will be okay with that because, as I said, I've definitely developed some love for Fugazi because of this podcast.
That's great to hear, Jason. It really is. And also thank you for your earlier words that were very kind about our 15 minutes and we try to teach you something and we really do. And it goes right along with this. I tried to pick the records, that meant the most to me and that I spent the most time with and that I still think hold up a lot for me. Those are the ones I went for. Longevity did matter to me. And so Spiritualized still, I could put it on right now and you could either smoke some dandelions and listen to it for a long time, or you could drive 1,000 miles and play it over and over and you'd still be fine. Fugazi is just an incredible record from a band that may have been at their peak at this time, about a city, Washington, D.C., that had just recently shed the title of murder capital of the United States. So both incredibly important records to me.
I think, first off, I will say I have both of these albums on vinyl records. And Fugazi, to me, I mean, that's a 90s band. I know they formed in the late 80s, but to me, that's an iconic 90s band. And one that had an opportunity, I think, to be bigger because of the alternative rock boom at the time, but chose to, you know, do things their way. And so you got to respect that. And Repeater's just a hell of an album. Spiritualized was a band, honestly, I was not familiar with in the 90s. And in fact, really only got into in the last several years because of Mr. Patrick Foster. And he took me to a Spiritualized show and it was, you know, just wonderful. It was fantastic. So I think it was after that show that I got this album. And it's fantastic too. However, I will say this. When we look at the voting patterns in a lot of these matchups, the bigger names tend to win. And so it's not going to surprise me at all if Fugazi takes this. And I won't be upset with that at all either. So.
Yeah, interesting. And I think it goes without saying for the rest of the picks that Jim and I will discuss, please listen to them if you hadn't heard them. At least, you know, the first side or the first several songs so you get a flavor of it.
And every day on the Facebook matchup, we do post in the comments, we post the Spotify links so people can listen.
Right.
Yeah. Very easy to do. Okay, now we move on. This one will go live today, Sunday, at 1 p.m. The new matches are always at 1 p.m. Eastern. This was my top pick, Sugar's Copper Blue, up against World Party Goodbye Jumbo.
I'm going to just quickly start with World Party. I think this was the first album that I bought solely on a record review. And again, this was, I know Mike had mentioned it. I had joined, I don't think it was Columbia. I think it was the other one, the RCA one, where you got four for a penny. And World Party's Goodbye Jumbo was one of the four. And I ended up listening to that on repeat, that I am pretty sure I alienated some of my roommates. I was not expecting what I knew from the review how sort of Beatlesque and sort of 60-ish it was going to sound, but until you actually listen to it, it was like amazing. Now, it's going against Sugar, who, you know, I know there's a lot of love out there for Bob Mould, and I also know that Sugar about to do a huge reunion tour. Well, you know, for them, a huge reunion tour. I know, you know, there's like 4 dates in New York City. 3 of them are sold out. They added something at the end of October, which is not sold out yet, but I'm pretty sure by the time the tour, that October date gets closer, that's going to sell out before the sellout. So I think it's going to be Sugar, but like the first matchup, you know, my heart is definitely with World Party.
I'm very glad both of these albums are in here. I'm very curious to see how it matches up. To me, they're kind of polar opposite records, mm-hmm. but both feel very 90s to me. And I just love that they're both in here. And man, that World Party album, you start listening to that, and those songs stick in your head very, very much.
It's funny you say that, because when I was making my picks, and that was my last one in, right? The World Party one. I went back, you know, because it's tough. It's like, I got one more pick, one more selection. What's it going to be, right? And I went back and I listened again to Goodbye Jumbo. And man, it's just a beautiful record from beginning to end. It really is like really well crafted. And both of these albums, I will also say, and I guess this should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway. I mean, all the deep cuts are so good too. You know, it's not even just the songs that, you know, got, you know, whatever radio airplay they did or MTV airplay, but you know, all of them, just all the songs, both albums, I think, sort of take you on a journey. But anyway, okay. The number 3 seed in this quadrant is, these again were my picks, Material Issues, International Pop Overthrow, and that will go up against the Lemonheads, It's a Shame About Ray. So this is a, you know, power pop or, you know, pop rock sort of matchup here. I would just say real quickly that I don't want to belabor this, but these picks were made some time ago. I know Mr. Evan Dando's been in the news lately, but anyway, we won't get into that, but these picks were made before all of that. And I will also say regarding Material Issue that that album was one of the first albums I got when after I graduated college and was starting my first job and out on my own. So it holds a very special place in my heart just because it's like one of those, I don't know, just life moment kind of albums, you know, that you have, right? And I still just continue to love it. So, but anyway, Jason.
So, look, I guess I would say at the time, you know, it's funny because obviously the Lemonheads got more radio airplay, you know, the Mrs. Robinson cover, It's a Shame About Ray. That having been said, you know, I mentioned this on the last episode. Material Issue did sort of a free concert. There was like some sort of like Spring Festival in Albany, and they were the headlining band, I think, one of the days. And, you know, I generally at that time was not really into power pop, but I became a huge Material Issue fan. You know, basically I kind of circled back from that show and saw Material Issue, you know, ended up listening to a bunch of Material Issue. So, you know, I am going to be picking Material Issue here. You know, we'll see. I think, you know, you commented on something, Jim. We'll see if that has an effect on the Lemonheads vote. We'll also see. I think there's a lot of people in the community that also like Material Issue. So, I'm curious to see how this one turns out.
Yeah. I'll say, material issue also holds a special place in my heart, Jim, not because I ever graduated college, but because it's an incredible rock and roll story. It's beautifully poetic, romantic, and also terribly sad at the mm-hmm. same time. And this is their masterpiece, you know? It kind of reminds me of The Laws, which mm-hmm. I know the album was recorded in the very late 80s, but it did come out in 1990. Like, The Laws album against Material Issue, International Pop Overthrow would be the perfect, you know, they just would mirror each other and cancel each other out,
yep.
and everyone would die. I hope this record wins, man. If you haven't heard it, please, please listen to it.
Yep. Okay, moving on here. These are Patrick picks. Number 4, Sun City Girls, Torch of the Mystics versus number 13, Le Tigre.
So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say this may be one of the lower vote totals in the entire tournament. If the Sun City Girls break double digits, my heart will swell with pride and happiness.
So I was just going to say
that
you each have an album that on your list that I had never really listened. I had never listened to, but basically in connection with previewing some of this stuff, and I haven't made it through everything, but there are two albums I've really enjoyed, and we'll start with yours, Mr. Patty, because I ended up listening to that Sun City Girls album on Martin Luther King Day, and that definitely hit my sweet spot. I can't tell you exactly why, but I can tell you that I listened to it. I've listened to it since Martin Luther King Day, not President's Day. I'm sorry, not Martin Luther King Day, President's Day. So I like that. Now, Le Tigre is a fun album. So look, we'll see how the votes play out. I think I'll be voting for Sun City Girls on this. But you know, look, that Decepticon off of Le Tigre, I don't know if there's a more fun song in this tournament. And my suggestion, if you never listen again, as we've been saying, you should listen to everything. But if you never listen, if you don't have time, at least put on the song Decepticon if you've never heard that.
Yeah.
I know Mr. Coley said it's one of the most played songs where he's bartending tonight at Copper City. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be played a few times while we're taping this.
Yeah, and I'll just say, who doesn't love Kathleen Hanna, right? But anyway. Okay, moving on. Number 5. These are also Patrick picks. Lullaby for the Working Class, I Never Even Asked for Light versus Super Furry Animals, Gorilla.
So, Lullaby for Working Class, that's one of the albums I haven't gotten to yet. I had heard Super Furry Animals before. You know, before I vote, I'm definitely going to try and listen to Lullaby for a Working Class. You know, this is going to be a pick'em for me.
So this is in the 90s. You know, I was digging deep, man. I was getting records, you know, by writing to the band sometimes and having them send me their album. That was not the case with this record, though. This record was on Saddle Creek, which is Connor Oberst's label from Bright Eyes. And this is probably the most obscure record on this this whole tournament, man. But please listen to it for a little while. There's a guy, Ted Stevens, in this band that went on to be in another band that was on Saddle Creek Records. Mike Mogus worked on this record, too. It's just really weird and really special and really different and very sad and also beautiful at the same time. Super Furry Animals are an amazing rock band from Wales, and this is my favorite album by theirs. Every single song is incredible. It's very fun also, in the same spirit as La Tigre, but also pretty rock and roll.
Good to see some Welsh representation, I think.
Yes.
You know, it's like when a team from like Maine gets in the tournament or something. You know, it's like,
have you ever been to Wales, Jim?
I've never been to Wales, no.
Jason, you ever been to Wales?
I have never been to Wales. No. I've only been to London. Yeah.
Holy's probably been to Wales. We'll have to check.
Let's just say he has. Okay. All right. So then next up we have, these are my picks. Number 6, Jayhawks, Tomorrow the Green Grass versus number 11, Velvet Crush, Teenage Symphonies to God. I will just say real quickly, I know a lot of people love Jayhawks Hollywood Town Hall, which was also in the 90s. There was, and I do too, but I don't know. Tomorrow the Green Grass was just one that just really hit me. Again, I think sort of top to bottom, I just like that one better. So I put that one in there. And then the Velvet Crush album, again, really it hits me in the pleasure center, right? It's like that power pop goodness. And this was an album that I discovered shopping for CDs at Best Buy in Rockford, Illinois, because we didn't have a whole lot of record stores there. I think there was like one dedicated record store. So anyway, I went to Best Buy and I was looking at the CDs. And back then, Best Buy had a huge CD section.
Yeah.
And they had listening stations where they would have CDs that were picked that you could go, they were like loaded in already and you could go and like listen. And this was one of them that was in like one of the listening stations. And just remember hitting play on it, not knowing anything about this band. And the first song was Hold Me Up and just being like, oh, you sold me. I got to buy this record now. So anyway, there we are. Patrick, Jason, what do you think?
So, you know, I had mentioned that there were two albums that definitely hit my sweet spot that I didn't know before this tournament started. For you, Mr. Lenahan, that's the Velvet Crush album. I put that on, and I've listened to that a few times since, discovering that through this tourney. It's a really good album. I think it's what you said, Jim. It definitely hits pleasure spots and, you know, just a really good, like, sort of power pop album, I think, at the end of the day. You know, it's funny, the Jayhawks, I didn't really get into the Jayhawks until I think the 2000s. I remember they released an album in 2003, 2004. I'm drawing a blank on the title, but I know Save It For a Rainy Day was on it. And
it was called Rainy Day Music.
Rainy Day Music. Yeah. And that's what caused me to circle back to the back catalog. You know, this is Tomorrow the Green Grass has, I think, their best song, which is Blue. I love that song. I will be voting for the Jayhawks, but I'll tell you, as I said, I'm glad I got the introduction to Velvet Crush here.
Yeah, brilliant picks here, in my opinion. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, Velvet Crush, you know, for you R.E.M. fans, not to encourage R.E.M. fans, because a nipple is on the line here, but this record was recorded by Mitch Easter and produced at Winston-Salem in North Carolina. It's got those jangle pop things that you love, and it's just an incredible American record. I mean, Teenage Symphonies to God, come on. We don't have to explain it. It's so good. And Tomorrow the Green Grass. What are you going to say about the Jayhawks? What are you going to say about Gary Lewis, Mark Olson? I mean, there's nothing left to say. Yeah. There's nothing left to borrow.
Very good. Okay, and then two more of my picks here. Number 7, The Breeders' Last Splash. And number 10, Superchunk. You mentioned earlier, Superchunk, Foolish.
Look, I mean, you know, this that Last Splash album, I think, was, at the very least, everybody knows the song Cannonball. That, I think, if you made a list of top 90s songs, that would be definitely relatively high on the list, or at least make it top 100, probably. And I'm a big Kim Deal fan, too, so, that having been said, you know, look, if you're talking about bands, like if you were starting potentially a Mount Rushmore of indie bands, I think you would potentially have an argument that Superchunk should be on that Mount Rushmore at the end of the day, in between not only their own music, but the fact that, you know, the two of the members run Merge Records. I probably will be voting for the Breeders, but I'll be honest, this probably will be something where I'll listen to both albums on the day, and whatever hits me the hardest that day will probably be the one that ends up getting my vote.
That's a good way to do it. And I'll just say, what would the 90s be without?
Right. Yeah, it's a, I don't have anything else to say, except that Superchunk's one of my all-time favorite bands and just great band. Okay. And then rounding out the host quadrant, these are Patrick picks. Number 8, Buena Vista Social Club versus number 9, Sebado 3.
So look, it's funny that, as I know I had said this on the preview, I am glad the Buena Vista Social Club album made it to this tournament. I mean, that just, first off, it's really, I think, the first time in this tournament, in the, you know, and I realized the first was American music, but, you know, the first time we're having like a sort of Latin America country, I guess, sort of, you know, an entry here. You know, I know The Harder They Come made the 70s tournament, but I think this is really like the first like true world music entry at the end of the day. You know, Sebada, it's funny. I want to say 2015 to a Dinosaur Giant Jr. concert where they sort of did their first album in their entirety, and then they bought out guests to do guest musicians for the second set that did like their songs. And one of my favorite live moments of all time was during that show, Kim Gordon did the song Don't, where she essentially screamed for, you know, what Barlow does on the on the Dinosaur Jr. record, "Don't," get upset, whatever the lyric is. And frankly, it was that where I'm like, all right, you know what? I've always loved Jay Maskus. I had to hear Luke Barlow's side of things, which is that when I sort of circle back to the Sebada stuff, and I do love the Sebada stuff, so. You know, I am a big Lou Barlow fan, and I'm glad he's in this tournament too. I probably will be going Buena Vista Social Club, but I will not be upset if Sebada ends up pulling this out.
Beautiful analysis, man. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I will just say two things. One, Sebada 3 contains the nastiest bandmate breakup song ever written. It's called The Freed Pig. It's the first song on the record. It's Lou just unloading on Jay Maskus behind the most angry guitar you've ever heard. It's just literally unbelievable. And I'll say this, the next time you wake up with a little hangover from too much bourbon, sangria, beer, or wine, put on the Buena Vista Social Club. It's like putting a warm cloth on your head. You'll feel a lot better.
That's great. One thing I just noticed here with the back-to-back matchups, we have two sort of like offshoot bands with the Breeders and Sebado.
Yeah.
And it's funny because neither one of the main bands is in the field at all.
I know.
Right?
That's crazy.
The Pixies are not in at all, right? And neither is Dinosaur Jr.
And just because we're bringing this up, memo to the Gallagher brothers, you know, you don't have to duplicate that. You know, you guys can stay together again. You were going against the tough YouTube band. Please, you know, there's enough problems in this world. We actually solved one when you guys got back together last year. Don't let the vote affect you guys continuing on at the end of the day.
Amen.
it didn't even take a board of peace to bring them together either.
There you go.
It just happened. Okay. All right. Let's get out of here. We're running out of time. Vote at facebook.com/suburbspod. Listen to the podcast every day. And we'll be back with more tournament updates as it progresses. When we get through this host quadrant that we just previewed, that'll be the end of the first round, peoples. And then we'll go into the second round of this thing. All right. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks.
Mike Coley should be back next time, I would imagine. And it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all later. I'm sitting here recording on Saturday night with a Smittix nice. Red Ale. This is a classic, you know, red ale. It's very good. It's the kind of thing I don't think of very often, but I was at the store. I saw it there and I was like, man, I haven't had one of these in a long time. It's great.
Nice call.
Yeah. Okay. What do you got, Patrick?
I'm actually drinking a Founders from...
Oh, yeah.
Grand Rapids, Michigan, all day IPA.
Yeah, can't go wrong with that. Jason, anything in your house?
I am not. I am sans beverage tonight. I will live vicariously through you two, through your beverages.
All right.